for tonight's winning Powerball number and for that over half a $1 billion jackpot.
And last night's Powerball drawing will make at least two people very wealthy. Powerball officials say winning tickets were sold in Missouri and Arizona. Private Bradley Manning remains on the witness list on charges he gave classified documents to WikiLeaks. The hearing enters its third day today. This is NBC News Radio. UN Ambassador Susan Rice did not receive positive feedback after 2 days of talks with GOP senators. Moderate Republican Susan Collins had this to say about Rice's initial account of the deadly raid on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi.
It's obvious that she chose to emphasize some aspects and downplay others. And frankly, I think the UN ambassador, along with the Secretary of State, should be above politics.
Ambassador Rice is seen as the top candidate to replace Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. Much of the West Coast is being hit hard by severe weather, reports NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer.
We have storm after storm just pummeling California and Oregon and also Washington State as well. That is going to continue to move on shore.
And Betty White is going on the auction block. Starting December 3rd, fans of The Funny Lady can bid for a date with the Hot in Cleveland star. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the Internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer code BACKUP.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as 1 day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
We've been telling you about the daily deals business slowing down as fewer small merchants promote themselves with loss-leading online coupons. Following research, they don't create the repeat business hoped for. That's causing problems at number one deals site Groupon, whose board decides today if it will dismiss its CEO. It is also hitting number two site Living Social, which reports today it will cut 9% of its staff, 400 jobs. On Black Friday, we saw workers at Walmart stores across the nation stage protests of low pay and higher benefit costs as some look to unionize. Today, we'll see a coordinated union push in the fast food business. The biggest fast food unionizing effort in history kicks off in New York City today, backed by civil rights and community leaders, religious groups, at least one union, and including workers for McDonald's, Wendy's, Domino's, Taco Bell, and several other chains. Fiscal cliff deal hopes are pushing global stocks and U.S. stock futures up. S&P futures gaining 8 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
You want to give one special gift. It shows that you love what they do. It gives them cheer all through the year. You always hear, thank you.
Give a, give a, give a, give a garden. Give a, give a, give a, give a
garden. Find something fun for everyone.
GEICO says, let's make life simpler. You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, GEICO has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has GEICO. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Our country is divided. With fault lines on every issue and constantly shifting blame, America has been held in deadlock. With confidence in our elected officials quickly waning, where can you turn when you want real progress? There is a place for insight, answers, and community in this divisive society. There is a place for you, a place for your sanity. Welcome to your first shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, the 29th day of November 2012, the waning days of November. It's hard to believe, but we are almost literally on top of December. We have a lot going on today. The lame duck session of the state legislature will really be almost the entire focus of today's program as they continue their divisive and hated destruction of anything that's Democratic. It just seems to me, and I don't think I'm alone on this thought, that the legislative Republicans are so hell-bent on control and power while they have it. Even if it's just a little bit, and they've got more than a little bit, that they're going to use and abuse democracy and all that it stands for. How heinous and hateful these folks are. It just seems to me they didn't get the message November 6th. They don't care. And that is dangerous. You know, we often think, you know, a cornered animal is dangerous. Well, the Republicans aren't cornered, yet they're more dangerous than a rat that is cornered, and perhaps more vile than a rat that is cornered. When people feel empowered, needlessly empowered, it's what we get. What we've got now is what we get. And if you don't start standing up, if you truly don't start standing up, you can kiss whatever you think this state can be goodbye. All right. I hate to start off that way, but there are just certain realities you have to deal with. What do we have going on? Well, it's Thursday, so Susan Demas with the Mayor's News Service will be joining us at 7 o'clock. We'll be talking about the state legislature. State Representative Fred Durhall Jr. joins us at 7:35. He is the recently announced candidate for Mayor of the City of Detroit, and we'll talk to him about his hopes and dreams at 7:35. David Hecker in our Labor Day Thursdays joins us at 8 o'clock, and Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, then joins us at 9. So what we expect on a Thursday program, but let's go ahead and get this bad boy going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Confidence, 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 confidence. What does it mean to be confident? Strong, definitive, certain, brave, courageous, forthright, visionary. I bring this up for a very specific reason. The confidence, or the lack thereof, really does help set an agenda and decide what moves forward, what stays static, and what moves backwards. If you don't have confidence in your position, if you don't have confidence in your convictions, if you do not have the confidence to stand up, then don't. Then don't. We need to eliminate in our party, the Democratic Party, the players, the fakers, the hangers around. We do no longer have the luxury of just talking a good game. We must have the confidence to play that game well. And if you don't feel you can, then don't show up at all. I don't mean to be rude. And actually, maybe I do need to mean to be rude. These are not times where we need the meek and mild. We don't need pretenders right now. We need true, strong, confident activists that are willing to stand up for their beliefs, that in spite of the opposition, will not be swayed. We need to be sure that we use that confidence in a proactive and positive way that gets us closer to our goal. And that goal is democracy for all, in whatever way that will be manifested. We cannot, we will not, we must not stand on the sidelines any longer. You have the truth. Use that truth with your power, with your confidence, to begin to move the wall that is standing in front of you. There is a time, there will always be a time, and history will remember that time when the seemingly unmovable fell. Will you be at the wall pushing or on the sidelines watching? So much of that has to do with your own confidence. Confidence is today's first word.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Talbot at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Left field is deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they take Red Wings for the third time in 11 years for the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
All right, let's drop some sports knowledge at the water cooler. We don't even have a water cooler. I guess we do have a water cooler. Anyway, let's say good morning to Anthony. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. How's your day going?
Well, it's early, so we'll see. You know, you can tell by the first word I'm a little wound up today.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, it can be good. I would love to be able to start a show by saying, hey, well, I can actually. I can start this segment by saying, hey, we won. And by we, I mean the Pistons over the Phoenix Suns by 40 points, eh?
Yeah, I think we scored enough points for the rest of the season.
Well, let's hope not, because that would mean the season would be over. I got to tell you, it's really interesting. If you go to the Free Press today, there's an article about the attendance in last night's game. It was a home game. The announced attendance was 10,700 and something. According to the reporter, there were no more than 5,000 people at the game last night, and it looked practically empty.
Like you gotta think if you're Tayshaun Prince and like you're sitting there, he just has to look around and be like, man, I remember when this place used to just be like jam packed. Because I mean, if you think about it, like 2004, 2005, that was like the game to go to, like that was the spot to be. I mean, we set the record for consecutive sellouts, and I'm sure he just like looks around that place and he can hear his own echo and like now and you know, he just thinks back when.
Yeah, in fact, the reporter was saying that when he was sitting in the press box, which is obviously not courtside, he could hear Lawrence Frank, the coach of the Pistons, yelling so clearly that it was a little eerie. And it's just scary. Apparently, when the Shock were playing, they used to cover the upper deck with tarp. And he recommended that they pull the tarp out of mothballs. And,
like Oakland does?
Yeah.
For their baseball team?
Right. and you know, they cover the upper deck and make the... And I'm surprised that they even open the upper deck. I think that as people show up, they should just sit wherever you want.
Well, if they don't open up the upper deck, you know, nobody's buying tickets. I think those are the tickets people buy because they're like $22 right now.
Right. So anyway, but the Pistons, let's go back to the victory. They did win last night by 40 points, 117-77. Kind of a shocking number, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, really shocking. Nobody, I had a good feeling about yesterday's game because they've been playing, it's funny to say, good basketball lately. But, I mean, nobody, I mean, I wouldn't expect anybody to blow out a team by 40 points. So, really, they were just on last night. They were hitting threes. They were, you know, driving it to the lane, like Stuckey would just go in the lane and get twisted and turned up, and somehow it goes in. I mean, it was just their night last
You know,
night.
You and I were listening to a national sports show on the way in today, and maybe you heard the one guy say, we can all agree that the Detroit Pistons are one of the worst, if not the worst, team in the NBA. Do you believe that?
He said one of the worst teams ever assembled.
Ever assembled, you're right.
So that's a lot. No, I don't believe that. I was... I mean, what does a football guy know about basketball, you know?
Is that what he is, a football? I guess he is a football guy. He actually works for Oakland, doesn't he, the Raiders?
Yeah, the Raiders games.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, it's not that bad. Trust me, folks, it's not that bad. And listen, now they've won the last five out of the last eight. That's a nice little streak they've got.
Four in a row at the Palace?
Four in a row at the Palace. Maybe before you know it, they'll actually be up to 20,000 people in attendance, actual 20,000 people in attendance. I don't remember how many seats the Palace is, but it's not that hard to sell it out. But yeah, they haven't. I can't remember the last time they had a full house. Probably, you know, close to it when, you know, Miami comes in, or, you know, Los Angeles comes in, Lakers come in.
Maybe.
Well, I remember last year when Miami was in town, there were far more Miami Heat fans than there were Detroit Pistons fans at the Palace. And the Detroit Red Wings know what that's like, because often when they play out of town, there are more Wings fans in the seats than there are whatever the home team is.
A little different, but yeah.
Yeah, a little different. But anyway, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. We've got some more sports to get to. Michigan State had a tough night. We'll find out if they won or if they lost in basketball. And a rumor, a Tiger, a once very popular Tiger, may be on his way out of town. But we'll get to all that when we continue. I'm Tony Truppiano. He's Anthony Truppiano. And, oh, that's right, it is the holidays, isn't it? Merry Christmas to you. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this in 1310 WDGW.
But have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Benson, and I'm wishing all of Tony's listeners a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
All right, we got a big problem on 94. It's over to 94 eastbound just after Livernois. Accident is blocking all lanes and traffic is stopped from Lanyo. On the flip side, 94 westbound approaching Livernois. All lanes are blocked due to a vehicle fire and traffic is stopped from West Grand Boulevard. Avoid those areas if you can. We're also watching one problem on Mound Road southbound just before 8 Mile. An accident is causing problems there. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 47 with early morning clouds and then sunny skies in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, 44 with light showers, and it's currently 34 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free, when working families have to struggle to survive?
Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock, we go back to sports. Michigan State played Miami last night, and a very disappointing result for the Spartans, Anthony, coming on the short end, 67-59. Tom Izzo saying after the game, it's probably time to take a look at shaking up his lineup a little bit.
Yeah, I don't worry about him because he schedules these tough games. Well, I guess he didn't really schedule this one, but he does schedule the tough games at the beginning of the year. So his team is ready by March, and they always are ready. So I'm really not worried about those.
All right, fair enough. Very quickly, Ndamukong Suh yesterday was fined $30,000 for a kick to the groin of the Houston Texans quarterback on Thanksgiving Day after making the decision not to suspend him. My question for you, Anthony, is, if it wasn't deliberate, which would have been, I guess, a suspendable offense, then why is it fineable?
Yeah, I don't get that one. Like I said yesterday, if he doesn't get suspended, he shouldn't get fined, because if they don't suspend him, then they don't find anything wrong with it. Then the money, I really don't get the money. To make people shut up or something, I don't get why.
I don't get it
especially
either.
$30,000. That's a lot even for an NFL fine.
No question. And you know what you know, of course he's had his off the field problems as well, and he again was pulled over, I believe it was in Birmingham or Bloomfield. Anyway, he was pulled over for improper driving, was ticketed for that. And then he went on to say that he's always going to be punished for the stop. That has of course nothing to do with off the field. That would be strictly on the field. Has he drawn the wrong kind of attention to himself at this point? Is this something he's going to have to live with the rest of his life?
I don't think he handles every situation properly. He kind of gets frustrated with the media and I don't know how to put it, but he doesn't answer every question correctly, and he kind of acts like he doesn't care and all that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We'll go back to his rookie season when he just seemed to be the darling. He was saying everything right. He was appearing everywhere. He was, you know, doing his endorsements, and then not so much.
Yeah, he doesn't handle the controversy very well.
No, he does not. Well, last but not least, rumors yesterday that the baseball winter meetings start next week. And that by the end of next week, one-time Tiger favorite Brendan Bosch will no longer be a Detroit Tiger. And I would guess with the addition of Torrey Hunter, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Somebody had to go. This is actually kind of breaking news to me right now. So, if I had to pick one of them, I'm kind of glad it was Bosch, even though he's young and has an upside or whatever they say. The guy can't hit a slider, so ship him out of town. We got Hunter.
Well, you know, not only that, they didn't put him on the playoff roster. You know, with Quinton Berry rising to the occasion throughout the season, Brendan Bosch became quite expendable, actually. And listen, if you're right, if you can only hit one pitch, And he didn't have great stats last year. For playing 132 games, he did not have great stats.
With the exception of maybe his first 3 months in the league where he hit 370 and had those power numbers, he really hasn't done great at all.
You're right. You're right.
I mean, he had that great start when he came out of nowhere. Nobody knew who he was, and you know, the pitchers watch the film on the guy, and he's done.
Well, we'll wait and see. And I don't know what you get for a Brendan Bosch. I don't think you get a lot, to be honest with you.
What would you give up for him?
Not much.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I don't see that working out. And in a big way, I think that we're going to end up with prospects, which is always disappointing. But you know, yeah, you're right. What would you give up for a Brendan Bosch, and who would need him? And well, we'll let those work in the winter meetings worry about that, and we'll read about it after it happens. Anyway, that's it for sports this morning. So we'll move on from there. Hope you're all doing well. If you didn't crawl the Facebook page yesterday early afternoon, maybe it was even late morning, but I believe it was early afternoon, I posted that the Republicans in the state house are definitely pursuing right-to-work legislation. And they're going to be very aggressive about it, which means that that will be met with equal, if not a more forceful response from the other side. As we spent an hour on Right to Work for Less yesterday, and I assure you, we'll be spending a lot more than that on it today. It's so critical that you understand what this is all about. And I want to say it's about revenge, but revenge for what? Revenge for what? I don't get it. I don't know what the revenge is for. It certainly can't be in response to Proposal 2 because it didn't pass. So wouldn't that be the revenge? Just saying. I don't know. I don't get it. All right, very quickly, we have a photo contest today. This is how it works. This is how it works. Go to our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and search for First Shift. You will see a picture of Governor Snyder in an interesting situation. You caption it. And whoever captioned it, and our judges will be Anthony, Joe, and Kevin. Whoever captions it and wins will win a First Shift coffee mug, a First Shift baseball hat, and a couple First Shift pens. So go to Facebook now, search for First Shift, if you're not already a liker of First Shift, and go ahead and caption the picture. This one should be really good. My mind is reeling right now, and I've got to keep it clean. This is, well, it's not really a family show, is it? Even this early in the morning. But it should be interesting to see what some of you come up with. I'd like to say you can only do it once, but you guys never listen to me when I say that. So just go check out the picture and go ahead and caption it. By the way, our First Shift poll question of the day today has to do with right to work. And it says, it looks like Michigan Republicans are going to introduce right to work for less legislation on Thursday. That would be today. Do you believe that this is the right direction for Michigan? Go ahead and vote. Obviously, I would vote no. You know, you all have a right to your opinion. And again, we're going to spend a lot of time on this, excuse me, as we work our way through the program today. It just goes back to a simple idea that we've talked about so many times, I mean, repeatedly on this show. What direction is this legislature taking, and where are they trying to take us? You know, that's the real question. Even if you are a conservative, are you comfortable with the way the state legislature moves legislation and what they are trying to legislate? They seem to have become the morality police. And I thought that there was this understanding in politics that you can't legislate morality, but apparently they don't agree with that. They don't do anything that makes jobs more plentiful. They don't create an atmosphere that makes it more palatable to do business in the state of Michigan. And everything that they've tried to do in the name of legislation, that was supposed to bring more business here hasn't worked. What am I not getting? All right, 888-552-3595. Whatever's on your mind is good with me. We've got the caption contest, so go check that out on the Facebook page. I've got lots of audio to get to and lots of stories to get to and a really great program in store for you today. This is First Shift. I am Tony Truppiano. Folks, it's a Thursday morning, and it may be a tough one. Let me hear from you. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Taking a look at your drive, we're still watching that big mess over on 94 eastbound just after Livernois. The accident is blocking your left two lanes and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. And also traffic is stopped from Michigan Avenue. Now 94 westbound, as you approach Livernois, all lanes are blocked. That's due to a vehicle fire and traffic is stopped from Linwood. And that's also causing problems on 96 eastbound. The ramp to 94 is closed due to that vehicle fire on 94 westbound at Livernois. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 47 with early morning clouds and then sunny skies in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, 44 with light showers, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.
At last, our embarrassment is over. We Texans have long endured the shame of having our goober of a governor, Rick Perry, declaimed as the goofiest public official in the land. But now, we can point to another state's embarrassment, for a newly elected senator has ascended atop America's pedestal of political goofiness. But, oh my gosh, it's us again. The goof displacing Perry is Ted Cruz, a darling of Tea Party Republicans who was just elected senator from Texas. In addition to embracing the full array of Michelle Bachmann-style right-wing wackiness, Cruz also soars into the oxygen-deprived cosmic zone of John Birch Society conspiracy theories. Central to his campaign was this earnest pledge: in the U.S. Senate, I intend to continue leading the fight to stop Agenda 21. In this world of woes, you might have missed the dire danger that Agenda 21 poses to our republic. It's a 20-year-old, non-binding United Nations resolution promoting sustainable development and smart growth plans around the world. No less of a communist agent than George Bush the First signed on to it for our nation, and no visible harm has resulted. But Birchers, now joined by Koch Brothers Front Group and Senator Cruz, see things that us normal people do not. Agenda 21, writes Ted on his website, attempts to abolish unsustainable environments, including golf courses, grazing pastures, and paved roads. Don't you see, people? The godless blue beret-wearing troops of the UN are going to grab our golf clubs, cows, and gas-powered cars in the unholy name of sustainability. And who's behind this grand scheme to usurp America's sovereignty and your property? George Soros, Cruz declares. This is Jim Hightower saying, sorry, but this goober is now a U.S. senator.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Truppiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. Those numbers are good. If you are a Powerball player, and well, you may have won $1 million. Two Michiganders did, but the big prizes went to Missouri and Arizona. So unless you are listening on iHeart or online, chances are those within the sound of my voice are lamenting whatever it is you invested in your Powerball tickets. I haven't checked mine yet. I know I don't live in Missouri or Arizona, and I know I didn't buy my tickets in Missouri or Arizona. I was talking to somebody yesterday. They didn't know that the Powerball goes into 42 states, which raised their eyebrows. Like, really? You know? Yeah. That's why the odds of winning were 1 in 175 million. I was watching a thing yesterday on the news or something, and they were giving the odds of certain things, like the odds of actually shooting a deer in Hawaii were 1 in 6,750. And, you know, the odds of being struck by lightning twice were better than winning the lottery. And the odds of whatever, you understand what I'm trying to get at. But again, for those of us that dreamed romantically of what we were going to do with $500 million or more, had we had won, is nothing but a memory, and now we wait. We wait for the prize to go up one more time. So check your tickets if you live in the state of Michigan. They're not saying where the Michigan tickets were sold as of yet, and they may not know yet. But you may be a $1 million winner, and how could that be bad, right? So check it out. Okay, let's see. What do we have going on here? Let's get to some audio. Let's go ahead with this one. As we continue to look, and again, we're going to have a state Representative Fred Durhall Jr. on in just a little while, about an hour from now, to talk about his candidacy for mayor of the city of Detroit. Well, Dave Bing is the current mayor of the city of Detroit, and he's trying to work out a financial turnaround deal. And, well, let's just listen to this audio from WDIB.
Local 4 News has learned 2 weeks ago the city of Detroit put out 8 RFPs. Those are requests for proposal. Of that group, the turnaround teams are down to just 2. Yet the mayor's office is still asking a lot of questions and nothing is set in stone just yet. Sources close to the situation say that Conway McKenzie, the Bloomfield Hills-based turnaround firm, and Ernst & Young, the nationally known accounting firm that does some restructuring, made the cut. Plunkett Cooney bankruptcy attorney and expert Doug Bernstein says it's about time.
It's really realizing that there's a problem and taking steps to address them. So you've got somebody who can come in with a fresh approach, no predetermined ideas.
In the standard restructuring, the planning process starts with forecasting Detroit's population over the next 3 to 5 years to figure out the city's true income so it can begin to budget accordingly. That then gives the city numbers to work with in an attempt to get union negotiations going to see if they can get concessions that would balance the books. A turnaround plan that may or may not stave off Chapter 9 municipal bankruptcy usually arises from that work. The decision whether Chapter 9 is necessary could take 3 to 6 months.
I don't know that it's inevitable, and you can't tell as to where the money's going to come from to keep the city afloat for 3 to 6 months.
Now, that is up to the governor and the treasurer, really. But here is what we know right now. The mayor's office expects to take the package that it is working on, and the companies might change between now and December 11th. That's the next special session of city council. But we're told that it's going to bring this package to the council table on the 11th as a way to try and get this ball rolling. Now, we have no way of knowing whether the council will approve it. It sounds like it's probably not going to be that difficult to get passed. But one important thing, who's going to pay for this? Well, I've been told it's a 50-50 split between the state and the city.
You know, this continues to be such a meticulously and frustratingly slow process for a variety of reasons. I don't claim to know all the ins and outs, but, you know, these are conversations that have been going on for months. When did we first do the consent decree? March, wasn't it? Or is that when we started talking about the emergency manager, perhaps? Think about this. 9 months, 8-9 months later, no closer to a resolution. I am so very concerned about the lack of leadership, the lack of direction, the lack of progress, the lack of fill in the blank. It's very frustrating. And I'm not a City of Detroit resident. I can't imagine what you folks are feeling now. And then we, you know, hear the mayor talk about furloughs, and you heard that piece, right? It's once again about going to the unions for concessions. Folks, how many different ways do we have to tell you that there are already people working for the City of Detroit that are literally on food stamps because they make so little money? That people with decades of service have had their pay cut 20, 30, 40%. How much more can you concede? I'm just, you know, it's a pretty obvious question. It's very, very difficult to deal with this incompetency and lack of progress. I feel for you folks. Obviously I do. I talk about this a lot for a reason. I want the city to be strong. In so many different ways, there's so many different layers to this. At one, you know, one level, you've got true progress, people moving back to the city, rentals getting more and more difficult to find. You're beginning to see business growth outside of the Midtown area, in a fairly substantial way. If you go downtown, especially on the weekends, it's pretty darn busy down there, which is a good thing. At the same time, there are obviously other issues that are not being addressed. The stability, safety, crime is still a huge issue. You can only cut your police force and your fire department. You know, we hadn't talked about this story, but there was an article in the Freep on Friday about the fire stations that didn't have toilet paper and cleaning supplies. Did any of you hear about that? When people read that, some sent checks. Some have just been stopping by these firehouses and dropping off toilet paper and cleaning supplies. According to the follow-up article on that story, these firemen are actually a little embarrassed that this is happening. And the City of Detroit claims it's the reason this happened is because of the way they changed their procurement system. And the firemen say, no, that's just not true. This was a problem long before they changed procurement procedure. So, in fact, one of the articles said that somebody from White Lake Township sent a $100 check for the specific purpose of making sure that they could buy toilet paper and cleaning supplies. Is it embarrassing? Is it? I mean, it's obviously a good story. It's great. You know, one of the firemen said, you know, people are dropping this stuff off. People that don't have enough money to take care of themselves hardly are doing this, and it's a challenge. It should not be this way. I mean, there are some basic needs that need to be met, and they're not being met. It wasn't always like this, of course. And this isn't simply about people fleeing the city. It's really about a long-term lack of leadership. I'm very concerned, and I think you are as well. Thank you for those that have reached out to the fire stations in the city. Remember quite a few months back, we did a Charlie LaDuff piece where he went into these firehouses where there was sewage coming backing up into these firehouses. You got to remember, some of these fire stations are very, very old. And they're not maintained properly because it takes money to maintain something, anything. And, you know, this is, and now they've cut the fire department. We know that arson is up in the City of Detroit. We know crime is up in the City of Detroit. We have less firemen, less policemen, less patients than we've ever had. This is daunting. This is daunting, but we can't give up. You know, it does seem on any given day, if you stop and think about it, it does seem like on any given day, there's just too much to comprehend that we can't possibly fix or even prioritize. That's the other part of this, is how do you prioritize? What comes first? What comes second? What are basic needs? What's necessary? What's not? And these are challenges. These are big challenges. Yesterday, Again, if you were on the Facebook page, I made a donation. There's a good friend of mine, AJ O'Neill. You'll remember from AJ's Music Cafe in Ferndale. He's now opened up a little coffee house in Highland Park. He is helping them raise money for solar streetlights, which would not require them to pay for the electricity. They're solar. Aha. And they are less than $1,000 away from being able to pay for the first one. I donated $200. I have asked you folks to do that as well. We're going to have AJ on the show one day next week and talk about his crusade. It's not just his. There are other people involved in that. You can go to the Facebook page and follow the link there and read a little bit more about it. It actually made the national news. AJ has this way of attracting media attention. He's just that kind of guy. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Tom, stay where you're at. We're going to come to you right after the break. Let me hear from you. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, at Tony Truppiano. How do you prioritize this stuff? You can't throw your hands up and say, there's just too much, I can't do this. But we got to do something, and it's got to start somewhere, and maybe it just starts with you. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan. For those who celebrate holidays during the season, we wish you the very, very best. Enjoy it with your family and friends, and thanks for listening.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, or Hispanic, or Asian, or Native American, or young, or old. Rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight, you can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
On 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Well, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's go to the phones and welcome Tom in Detroit. Thanks for punching in this morning, my friend. What's on your mind?
midterm election first. But anyway, moving on from there. but anyway, you know, in terms of this situation with the Detroit firefighters, you know, it's pathetic that it got to this point. But one thing I can say is, like, I remember somebody asked the late council person, Marianne Mahaffey, what was Detroit's greatest asset? And she said it's people. And it's true, because in times of crisis, I mean, even with all this, you know, mayhem that we're going through, I mean, people pull together, and just not here, okay, as was in the article. I mean, there was people from around, you know, the surrounding suburbs, and probably even money that came from, you know, God knows where. But, you know, like you said, the basic necessities of life, I mean, I think you have to prioritize what that is. And basically what it is, it's food, clothing, and shelter. All right, and amongst that, you know, food and what have you, comes, you know, your toiletries and what have you. Because, I mean, if you're not clean, you know, and you eat, you're going to end up getting sick as hell and possibly dying.
Yeah, Tom, so, the idea that, and we've seen this in the schools for how long? Tom, how long has it been that we've asked students and families to send in Kleenex and other supplies? And we've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, and the thing, and the bottom line is, if it's one day, it's too long. Because those kinds of things should be staples that you should never run out of.
Well,
and, I mean, you know.
Here's what I find offensive, Tom. We ask, and let's just stick with public safety for a moment.
Okay.
We ask our policemen and women and our firemen and women to show up and do a job. We
right.
cut their pay, we cut their benefits, we cut their ranks. Then we don't give them right. We don't give them soap to wash their hands, toilet paper to wipe their butts, and I could go on, Tom. I mean, at what point? Do those in power think that they have any room to be critical or to ask more of these people? How much more can they give?
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, same thing, and, you know, I'm going to make a poor corollary, but same thing like with this bit about the rich paying more. I mean, I don't think it's going to hurt them to contribute a little bit more, whereas somebody, like I said, Warren Buffett's secretary pays more percentage-wise in terms of taxes than he does. And Warren Buffett even said it. He says, we need to pay more. And, I mean, you know, what they say, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I mean, my goodness gracious, you know, somewhere, somehow, something's got to give.
Well, you're right. Something does have to change. Thanks, Tom. As always, appreciate your comments. 888-552-3595. We welcome back Amir in Detroit. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. How you doing today?
Merry Christmas to you, my friend. Just in speaking on the toiletries not being in the schools and stuff, you know, that was going on back when I was in high school. And we passed a bond to fix those things, and the state took it over. You cannot run governments without revenue. When you destroy the school systems of different cities, people move out. That eliminates revenue. When you make laws that hinder the city, such as you don't have to live in the city to have a city job, that eliminates revenue. So those things affect us. The same thing on the national level. The rich need to pay more.
Oh, there's no, you know,
don't have the revenue.
You know, Amir, it at some level isn't, you know, let's either the schools or the fire departments. I mean, you know, is this a toilet paper tax? Is it a Kleenex tax? At what point do the citizens end their obligation to government, because government doesn't seem to feel an obligation to its citizens? You know,
Tony, we are the government, and that's the point. And we, the citizens, like those in the city of Detroit, like we got the mayor's election coming up. Why would I put a man like Mike Duggan as mayor when he destroyed my schools, which destroyed our city? You know, it's up to we the people to elect people that's going to represent people. I don't need somebody running for mayor to be my leader. I need you to represent me. I don't need a leader. I need a representative. I put you in office to represent, to do things that are going to help benefit me or we as the citizens of the city of Detroit, or we the citizens of the United States of America.
Yeah, but they also, I mean, Amir, you would have to agree with this. They have to show leadership. I mean, you can't just show up and represent without showing leadership. You have to show some leadership.
But that's a difference in being a leader and showing leadership. You're representing, and you should take on the leadership of putting out what we want. Like the guy that's going to come up on your show later, he's going to run for mayor. I'm a city of Detroit resident. What are you going to do to represent me and then lead us, say, to bring jobs into the city, to start and reduce the crime within the city, to actually make homes affordable in the city, to reduce the taxes in the city? See, those are what the leader, that's the leadership you should take, but you should still be representing me, not leading me. I don't need you to lead me to water.
Well, I will ask Fred Durhall that question. All
thanks.
Of those
Sorry,
questions. You bet. Amir, thanks again. I understand. Hear the frustration. These are very legitimate questions. And no matter what community you live in, I mean, these are the kind of questions you should be asking of your elected representatives. If they're not representing you properly, if they're not showing leadership, if they don't have vision, if they don't have a plan, don't vote for them. You know, we've often heard the criticism that Detroit is only getting what they voted for. Well, there's some truth to that. That's true of all of us. If you go with what Amir just said, and I believe what Amir just said, then yes, there is some truth to that. The residents of the city of Detroit got what they voted for. But you know, sometimes people are dishonest. Sometimes they lie. Sometimes they are really, really good actors. Doesn't matter what questions you ask somebody, if they answer them properly and they get you to believe them and you vote for them and then they turn out to be something else, well, that would make them pathological. But we're talking politics here. Since when are politics not about pathology? Think about it. Well, we just need to keep on pushing forward. There's no question. There's a great deal of work that needs to be done. There's a great deal of prioritizing that needs to be done. You know, Amir's right. The people in the city of Detroit, I think, exponentially pay more taxes per capita than any city in the state of Michigan. And those that have not abandoned the city have done that with their eyes wide open. They know what they're paying. It is not cheap to live in the city of Detroit if you are a homeowner. Your taxes are astronomical. And so when Amir says, you know, how do we reduce taxes? Well, that's a great question. And here's the thing that's always blown my mind. Almost every single time, the residents of the city of Detroit are asked to vote to increase their tax on something or to approve a bond, even when it hurts them financially, the vast majority of the time they say yes. Does that make them crazy or passionate? And I don't think they're crazy. I truly don't. All right. A quick break for the top of the hour. Susan Demas with Mirrors News Service when we continue. Fred Durhall Jr., a mayoral, Detroit mayoral candidate as well in the next hour. So lots to get to. David Hecker, Chris Mihalakis. But let's take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You'll never see him kick when Santa visits his paisans with Dominic Hildy. Because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Taking a look at your drive, we're still watching that big mess over on 94 eastbound just after Livernois. The accident is blocking your left two lanes and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. And also traffic is stopped from Michigan Avenue. Now 94 westbound as you approach Livernois, all lanes are blocked. That's due to a vehicle fire and traffic is stopped from Linwood. And that's also causing problems on 96 eastbound. The ramp to 94 is closed due to that vehicle fire on 94 westbound at Livernois. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 47 with early morning clouds and then sunny skies in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, 44 with light showers, and it's currently 34 degrees. degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
To maintain tax cuts for lower-income workers while boosting rates for the rich. NBC's Steve Handelsman.
The president says no long-term deal without a rate hike on the rich. He's urging the middle class to lobby lawmakers.
Hints of a compromise on the so-called fiscal cliff. Good news on Wall Street. Stock futures point to a higher open. A fast-moving storm has moved through Northern California, but NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer says there's more where that came from.
We have storm after storm just pummeling California and Oregon and also Washington State as well. That is going to continue to move on shore.
Some spots could get 10 inches of rain by Sunday. And to the winners go the spoils. Last night's record Powerball jackpot, nearly $580 million, produced two winning tickets sold in Arizona and Missouri. And that's not all. Eight others won $2 million apiece. 58 others won $1 million. This is NBC News Radio. New York City decked the halls last night as the most famous Christmas tree in the world came to life. NBC's Al Roker in Rockefeller Center.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
An 80-foot Norway spruce that made it through Superstorm Sandy transformed into a beacon of shimmering glory for the holidays. When kids say they're doing their homework on the phone, they may be telling the truth. A new survey says smartphones are used for homework by 39% of 11 to 14-year-olds. Gives new meaning to phoning it in. And a warning for runners, aging endurance athletes may be running a risk. A British study says athletes over 50 often run too fast, too far, and for too many years, endangering rather than boosting their heart health. The docs are calling for moderation as you get older. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered in a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on Stouffer's Meals for One at your convenient Dollar General store.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as one day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Today will be a difficult one in the online daily deals business. The boss of that industry's largest company, Groupon, learns his fate today as the board meets on whether to keep or oust its CEO following big financial struggles. Job cuts are coming to the second biggest daily deals company, Living Social, cutting 9% of its staff, 400 jobs. Walmart, Costco, Verizon, and several other big companies have changed the timetables of their dividend payments in recent days, now paying dividends before the end of the year in case of big 2013 tax hits. Now Walt Disney is joining them, hiking its annual dividend payment 25% for shareholders of record December 10th. Come fiscal cliff or tax hike deal to avoid it, companies are betting dividend taxes will be more next year. Stock futures up as investors bet some sort of fiscal cliff deal is on the way. S&P futures rising 9 points, NASDAQ futures gaining 20, Dow futures up 80. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer code BACKUP.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as one day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Yeah, 6 minutes after 7 o'clock, and I want to thank everybody for punching in with us on this early Thursday morning, the 29th day of November 2012. We have a great hour of radio for you. If you're just joining us at the bottom half of this hour, state representative and mayoral candidate in the city of Detroit, Fred Durhall Jr., will be with us. We'll talk about his candidacy. And we had a caller in the last hour that had some specific questions, certainly in concert with where I was going. So we'll get to that at the bottom of the hour. But before we do that, as we do every Thursday at this time, we need to go to an intro and get this hour going.
If you have been looking for real journalism, as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Dimas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot
as we welcome MERS and MLive journalist Susan Dimas.
And we do welcome back to First Shift on this Thursday morning, Susan Dimas, journalist extraordinaire. Susan, happy holidays to you. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
I did. I hope you did as well.
I did. Enjoyed the time off. You know, let me start with a kind of a broad question. As lame duck sessions go, you've been covering state politics for a while now. Have you ever seen one that begins this contentious and divisive?
Well, you know, in 2007, when the legislature raised taxes, it started out with the business community freaking out about a service tax, and we got rid of that and did a surcharge for businesses. That was pretty contentious, too. So I kind of compare it to that situation.
All right. Well, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. We did hear yesterday, both in MERS News Service, of course, published that right to work doesn't just look like it's going to be put on the table. It may be put on the table as soon as today, Susan. What do you hear?
Well, the talk has been that it would start in the House. House Speaker Jace Bulger is a big proponent of this. He had a meeting with some big union folks over at the AFL-CIO, Michigan Education Association, the AFT, and my understanding is basically he told them, it's coming, you haven't been a partner, we don't care what you have to say, and good luck.
Well, David Hecker will be with us in the next hour. I'm sure he'll have more than a little bit to say about that. Susan, I asked this question to start off the first hour of the show, so I'll just throw it out to you. What is right to work really about? The governor says he doesn't want it. The Michigan Chamber says they don't want it. I've got a long list of House Republicans that have talked against it. If it's about revenge for Proposal 2, wasn't the revenge for Proposal 2 it not passing? What is right to work legislation really about?
Well, there's been talk about doing right to work ever since the Republicans came into power in 2011, which with huge majorities in both chambers and a Republican governor. It's been on the back burner because Snyder will not take a public position on it. But in light of Proposal 2 going down, that certainly has emboldened some people who have said, now is the right time. Let's go for it. We've got the numbers. We can get this through. And my understanding is that the big drivers of this issue are some of the big Republican donors like Dick DeVos, who failed in his 2006 Republican bid for governor, Ron Weiser, former Republican Party chair. They're the ones who really seem to be pushing this. There are other business leaders who will do so quietly, and although publicly they will still say that they do not want right to work.
All right. Well, and you know, we know the statistics on right to work. I mean, we've had nonpartisan experts on this program. We've looked at studies. We know what's happened in states that have right to work, and it's not helped their business environment. And, you know, the one argument that I think resonates most closely with me is that it really, right to work creates, if it's going to create jobs, it's going to create the kind of lower wage jobs that don't really help the economy much anyway. And I do believe that to be true. So, I mean, beyond, you know, just, I guess, giving a payback to your business contributors, right to work actually would be a step backward for the Michigan economy, unless I don't understand this properly, and I think I do, Susan.
You know, it's funny. I haven't really heard anybody make an economic argument for right to work. That's kind of gotten lost here. I think it's just assumed on the Republican side that it will help the business environment. But more of a discussion has been a revenge discussion after Proposal 2, and obviously even before Proposal 2, there have been a number of anti-union measures passed in Michigan by this legislature. There's a political dimension here. Union dues obviously go to help negotiate better contracts for workers. However, some union dues also go to political donations for the Democratic Party. This is a good way to stop some of the money flow to the Democratic Party.
Yeah, but we know that the dues themselves, I mean, by law, you can't designate dues for political contribution. That has to come from a separate fund.
I understand that. However, Republicans maintain that the funds get mixed up, and I can't say, I don't know how the accounting goes, but obviously, unions are primarily funded by the dues that they get from their workers. There's not a lot of other source for how they keep their operations running.
Oh, there's no question. I'm not arguing that. Of course, it would be ridiculous for me to argue otherwise, because without their membership, they wouldn't have dues. That's why the dues checkoff thing was such a big issue for
right.
the teachers' unions. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, the people to voluntarily send in their dues every month, it's an accounting mess, and you know, what if they don't? I get all that. But you just said something that perfectly frames this whole story, and it's about political revenge. Should legislation be about political revenge? I can't imagine that's a conversation we even want to have, but here we are having it.
Well, good policy is not made by revenge, obviously, but this would not be the first time that we did have something passed because of revenge.
Well, I mean, by either party, by the way.
Right, obviously. You know, I mean, in politics, there are winners and losers. And when you win, a lot of times you want to punish who you beat.
Well, as I'm sure you know, and are not surprised, labor will be in Lansing en masse today. I have received no fewer than 30 or 40 emails from different, and I'm on a lot of different mailing lists, as are you, from 30 or 40 different sources giving me all kinds of agendas, all kinds of meetings, all kinds of trainings, all kinds of activism that's happening, starting literally at 7:30 this morning, going all day long. There's certainly, labor certainly, at this point, looks like they're well organized and calling out the troops. The question we have to ask ourselves, especially after we've seen what's happened over the last couple of years, sometimes it just doesn't seem to matter how many people show up.
No, if the Republican leadership in the House and Senate decide to do this, they're not going to be swayed by numbers, but what activism does is it makes sure that that side gets in the story, and it's a very powerful message, like we all saw, especially in Wisconsin. We have 80,000 people take over a Capitol. And, you know, certainly I would expect that if Michigan does right to work, this will be a national story. I mean, this is where the union movement was born. So I know what I've been told by a lot of folks in labor and Democrats is there's a lot of demoralization after Proposal 2 going down, and I would imagine there is, but, you know, it now would probably not be the time for their side to sit on their hands.
Oh, by all means. I do a lot of public speaking and leading up to the election. And, of course, I was out speaking in support of Proposal 2. One of the messages that I delivered on a very consistent basis that if Proposal 2, and I sometimes hate being right, Susan, if Proposal 2 was defeated, that right to work would follow. And I said, give it 2 to 3 weeks. Well, here we are, 2 to 3 weeks later. And here it is. Like I said, sometimes I don't like being right, but at this time I am. I don't know what the reality is. I do know that in 2010, when the governor was running to be the governor, he did give an interview where he said if right to work was put on his desk, he would sign it. I've played that audio on my show. It's on YouTube. It's not that hard to find. Now the reality comes in, if it doesn't, and let's talk for a moment about Randy Richardville, who said he's not pro-right to work. Do we have problems in the Senate then?
Well, there are a couple issues that you're talking about. In terms of this, the Republican caucus had a retreat, and what I'm told that happened yesterday is that they didn't come to a firm decision whether they want it taken up or not. However, if James Bolger drops a new bill today, as he wants, that gets the ball rolling, whether the Senate has gone along with it or not, and, you know, it's going to snowball from there. Randy Richardville personally doesn't like this, but there probably are enough votes in his caucus now when push comes to shove and it goes on the board. They're very concerned about the political fallout. The House doesn't seem concerned about that.
Right. Hold that thought, Susan. We've got to take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap up our thoughts on this, and we've got other stuff to get to. This is First Shift. We're up against the break. Susan Demas, my guest. We'll be right back.
A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chases the wish of Barney and Ben. Gossip will talk and we'll go for a walk as the hope.
This is Mark Brewer, chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. On behalf of the Michigan Democratic Party, I want to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your busy early morning commute, we've picked up an accident on 94 eastbound just after Livernois. It's blocking your left two lanes and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. And traffic is stop and go from Michigan Avenue. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard between University Drive and 75. Now that's closed due to ice buildup caused by flooding in that area. 94 westbound at 12 mile. There's an accident there causing slow traffic from Little Mac Avenue. Still watching that problem on 94 westbound between 96 and Livernois. All lanes are blocked due to a vehicle fire and traffic is stopped from the lodge. That's also causing a problem on 96 eastbound. The ramp to 94 westbound is closed because of that vehicle fire. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 47 with early morning clouds and then sunny skies in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, 44 with light showers, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. My guest, Susan Demas, journalist with Mirrors News Service. And before we went to break, we were talking about right-to-work legislation. May be introduced in the House today. What happens in the Senate? And, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But you're right, Susan. It does get the ball rolling. And at this point, that starts the conversation no matter what the eventual outcome is.
Right. And, you know, faced with the vote there on the board, I'm guessing with Republican majorities that this will pass and go to Snyder. Since he made that video on the campaign trail, he's been dodging the question. You know, he doesn't want anything divisive. He's not going to say if he'll sign it or not. That's not what a leader does. That's not what a governor does, not on a big issue. And, you know, I think it's really time for the governor to come clean and just say yes or no.
Why, and I realize this is an opinion, but yeah, the governor was on Flashpoint recently, and Devin Scillian must have asked him five different ways that question, and he just wouldn't answer it. Why do you think he avoids it?
That's an excellent question, and I cannot speak for the governor. My gut instinct is that this would really damage his brand to come out publicly and say that he would sign it because, you know, Governor Snyder is governor because of all the crossover votes from Democrats and independents. this would be a very divisive issue for him to sign. But in the end, if he goes ahead and signs it, he's going to damage his brand anyway, even if he gets his lieutenant governor, who'd be itching to sign such a thing. It's still on him. He still signed it. So that moderate image is going to be gone. I'm not sure what he gets out of delaying that for a couple weeks.
Well, I guess we're going to find out, and we know one thing with absolute certainty, especially with the next two guests I have, which is David Hecker, president of the AFT Michigan, and Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, and they're going to have plenty to say, and we will be listening. Susan, let's turn our attention now to a series of bills that are so anti-women, so anti-choice, so anti-access to health care, that, again, you wonder, did the Republicans get the memo? Hands off women's issues. Apparently they didn't.
No. If we do anything besides lame duck, right to work and lame duck, there we could see those abortion bills that were so hotly debated during the summer and led to the Vaginagate controversy. They're still out there. And, these are measures that could essentially shut down most abortion providers in the state. They could make abortion illegal after 20 weeks of pregnancy. They could actually prevent a woman who miscarried from getting a standard DNC procedure, because that could be considered an abortion if you're past 20 weeks. This is pretty far-reaching stuff that made the national press. And, the Republicans still seem to want to go there.
Well, it seems, and we did there. I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, but last week was Thanksgiving, of course. There was the fetal tax credit legislation that we found out just day before yesterday was not going to be introduced. We thought originally it would be, and they decided not to introduce it. It was ridiculous, and of course the easiest argument there is, you take away a tax credit for a living child, but now you're, a child outside the womb, but now you're willing to give a tax credit for a child inside the womb. Yep, that made a lot of sense. Oh, right. Susan, I mean, honestly, what are they thinking?
You have heavy Republican majorities. You have heavy Republican male majorities. There are not very many women in these caucuses. All of the pro-choice Republicans were drummed out of the party years ago. There are no more Shirley Johnsons and Joe Schwartzes out there. When you're just talking amongst, very conservative pro-life Republicans, this all seems to make sense. It's just not the position of the majority of Americans.
Well, it's, again, as those of us that are looking for progress, we do still know that we're having trouble creating jobs here in the state of Michigan. We know that the city of Detroit has some serious issues. We know that there's a lot of legislation that's being just left off the plate now. And I understand what lame duck is about, and I understand that there are people that are term limited. I mean, we could waste some time talking about Dave Ajima's anti-Sharia law legislation, which was ridiculous at any level because there's this huge epidemic of people, trying to change everything with Sharia law in the state. I mean, it just seems to me that we're not addressing the fundamental issues that need to be addressed. And I'm paying attention, Susan. It's true.
Lame duck is the time where everybody's pet issues get addressed, especially those who won't be coming back next year. And so you do see a lot of these niche issues that maybe perhaps only matter to one lawmaker out there, but, you go along and get along and pass things, even though there certainly are huge issues that people should be addressing. We have a huge issue with unemployment insurance benefits expiring, and that doesn't seem to be anything that people want to address here.
Well, again, it's just very, very daunting. You want to see progress, and then, the representative Tim Grimmel told Jace Bolger the other day, under no uncertain terms, if you pursue right to work, you're going to have one hell of a time with my caucus come 2013. And I don't think he's bluffing.
No, I mean, certainly there are a lot of issues where you can pass them with only one party, but what makes it that puts some vulnerable members in a position where they're going to have to vote for stuff that could be their demise in 2014 in that election. Besides that, there are issues that need Democrats. I mean, a lot of Governor Snyder's priorities with health care and transportation, he's going to need Democrats. If he signs Right to Work, if this comes up, I'm not sure that he understands that all of those priorities do go out the window.
Well, you're right. That is an interesting observation, because we do know that there are things on the governor's agenda, and if he really is interested in running for re-election, and I'm not convinced at this point he is, but if he is, he needs to get some a critical landmark legislation passed in the next, let's call it year, but certainly the next 2 years, that without Democrats it doesn't happen. Which, of course, dampens his chances of being reelected. But, you know, I'm not convinced, Susan, at this point the governor wants to run for reelection. But we'll wait and see. It's too early to play that game. And, I'm not willing to play it yet. So we will see what happens. Anyway, I want to thank you for your time today. We're just about out of time. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about at least one, if not both, of these issues a week from today, because neither one of these are going to go away anytime soon.
Well, thanks for having me.
As always, a pleasure. Susan Demas, journalist with the Mirrors News Service. A quick break here. State Representative Fred Durhall Jr. When we continue, will he be the next mayor of the city of Detroit? Stay tuned.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your busy early morning commute, we've picked up an accident on 94 eastbound just after Livernois. That's blocking your left two lanes, and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. And traffic is stop and go from Michigan Avenue. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard between University Drive and 75. Now that's closed due to ice buildup caused by flooding in that area. 94 westbound at 12 mile, there's an accident there causing slow traffic from Little Mac Avenue. Still watching that problem on 94 westbound between 96 and Livernois. All lanes are blocked due to a vehicle fire, and traffic is stopped from the lodge. That's also causing a problem on 96 eastbound. The ramp to 94 westbound is closed because of that vehicle fire. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 47 with early morning clouds and then sunny skies in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, 44 with light showers, and it's currently 34 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
ULICO, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company, is committing $20 million in financing for a 37-story apartment building in downtown Minneapolis. The project will create 1,000 union jobs. ULICO President and CEO Edward Smith says ULICO is proud to be a part of the project. His comments came in a celebration event with members of the Building and Construction Trades Council of Minneapolis. Smith says J for Jobs, ULICO's $2.3 billion commercial real estate investment vehicle, has a 35-year history of investing in projects attractive to institutional investors, while at the same time creating thousands of jobs for union members. Smith says using labor money to finance construction projects is a win-win because it grows investment and pension funds while putting union members and contractors back to work. With Republicans beginning to signal it may be over for Grover, an interview Grover Norquist did with the Washington Post editorial board in 2011 has surfaced. In it, Norquist says allowing the Bush tax cuts to expire would not be a violation of his no taxes pledge that so many Republican members of Congress have signed.
Not continuing a tax cut. I'm sorry, not continuing a tax cut is not technically a tax increase.
So it does not violate the pledge?
We wouldn't hold it that way. a lot of the guys on the Hill do.
William Dugan, president of the 110,000-member National Federation of Federal Employees, is blasting Senator Bob Corker for pushing heavy workforce cuts as a solution to the so-called fiscal cliff. Dugan says Corker's proposal would cut the federal workforce while forcing those workers still employed to pay more for health care and retirement with smaller paychecks. Dugan says federal workers have already sacrificed $110 billion, and they should not be forced to sacrifice another $397 billion while the richest Americans are exempted from paying more taxes. U.S. companies are feeling the heat of a Bangladeshi garment factory fire that claimed 112 lives. Jesse Russell reports.
According to ABC News, a witness to the fire said management at first thought it was a false alarm and caged workers in so they'd keep working instead of fleeing. According to an accounts book discovered by an AP reporter on the scene, Disney, Sears, and Walmart were among the U.S. companies who had products produced at the plant. Walmart and Sears have both alleged that they knew of problems at the factory and had believed that no products that they carry were being produced there. They've both pledged to launch investigations. Walmart said it had prohibited suppliers from working with the company that owned the factory. Bangladesh's interior minister alleged on Tuesday that the fire was actually the work of saboteurs, and Bangladesh's garment factories were in fact safe. The weekend fire was one of two factory fires in the country in the last 5 days.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. I just want you for a moment to pay attention to this list of credentials. His distinguished public service includes the following. Community Resource Specialist for the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, Assistant to Mayor Coleman A. Young, District Director for Congresswoman Barbara Rose Collins, Legislative Aide to Wayne County Commissioner Bernard Parker, Deputy Director at the Detroit Charter Revision Commission, Legislative Aide to State Senator Jackie Vaughn III, Communications Analyst for the Michigan House of Representatives, Executive Director for the Michigan Legislative Black Caucus, a Rent Subsidy Audit Clerk for the City of Detroit Housing Commission, and Executive Director of the Virginia Park Citizens District Council. I can really go on, including a political organizing director for the Michigan Democratic Party, the first African American, by the way, to serve in that capacity, and much more. Who is this? Well, he is the man that hopes to be the next mayor of the city of Detroit. And joining us now is State Representative Fred Durhall Jr. Fred, thanks so much for being with us this morning, and congratulations on your decision to run for the mayorship.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. I certainly appreciate it, and good morning to all of your listeners and yourself.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that as well. This is a this could not have been a light decision to make. Obviously, you're serving the very constituents you would like to, of course, represent as mayor of the city. Why did you feel, Fred Durhall Jr., that this was the right time to step up and take on this challenge?
There are a couple of reasons. Number one, as you probably know, the city of Detroit is facing probably the worst financial crisis in terms of its government that we've had since the fire of 1701. And it threatens to undo much of the progress that has been made over the years in the city of Detroit. And in addition to that, there is a real concern about citizens being endangered because of the lack of services, because of the lack of financial acumen.
Well, certainly revenue is a problem, but we take a look, and I have a substantial listenership in the city of Detroit. Some of those folks called the show this morning and wanted me to ask you some specific questions, and we'll get to those in a moment. But one of the challenges of the next mayor is working with the council, not fighting with the council.
Absolutely.
You are a city resident. This has to be very frustrating for you to see them not progressing an agenda that brings the city closer to some fiscal sanity.
I agree. I think that in the world of politics, sometimes you have to tone the politics down, much like they're doing in Washington, D.C. When you're facing a financial cliff, you have to put aside all of that kind of stuff and get down to the business of taking care of business. I think the Detroit City Council, a legislative body just like ours is in the legislature, has a responsibility to its citizens. And I think also the executive branch of government, headed by the mayor, has another responsibility. And they both together have the equal responsibility to run things as smoothly as possible and to stay out of trouble and to try to provide the citizens the best and most efficient services that is possible.
Oh, I find it interesting. Of course, you made your announcement a couple days ago right away. As you know, there were some pundits that said, well, this guy can't win. And I'm not one of those people that believes that. I believe you have as much a shot at winning this as anybody. Maybe you don't have the political machine of a Mike Duggan or you don't have the incumbency of a Dave Bing. But what you do have is a deep, rich tradition and history in this city. I'll remind this audience, you've lived here since you were 6 months old. Fred Durall Jr., this is a time for serious, serious leadership and responsible people. Can you be that guy?
I am that guy. I believe my history as a public official, which spans over 30 years, is proof of that. I also think, Tony, that we need the kind of leadership that is going to lead. You know, leaders have to lead. They can't say that I'm a leader and don't produce. I'm a guy who believes in production. I'm more like the man with the monkey wrench. I want to get into the problem and start tearing it apart and straightening it out. And after we do that, then I'm fine. I think that these problems are solvable. I think that we sometimes get a little too political. But in the city of Detroit, we have a problem. We're spending more money than we bring in. And we've been doing that for the last 30 years. And it's finally caught up with the city of Detroit. Plus, there are some other systemic problems inside the city of Detroit that has to do with its computer systems. We've got two or three of them, and they're not talking to each other. The payroll system is a mess there. And vendors have to wait inordinate amounts of time in order to be paid for their invoices after having delivered services. There are just a number of issues there, and it's going to take, like Dad used to say, it may take a month of Sundays to straighten it out, but as long as we got a calendar year, we get busy, we can do it.
Ma'am, I don't disagree with that, and certainly one of the things that I have criticized the current mayor for repeatedly is showing a lack of not only leadership, but a vision. We can talk about the problems all we want, Fred, but if we're not doing anything about them or, you know, not willing to compromise or not saying no one's going to tell me what to do, which he did recently with regard to the Miller-Canfield contract, how do we expect progress?
I agree with you. First of all, listen, if you're the mayor of the city of Detroit and you have this issue, see, we have a consent decree. Whether we like it or not, we're in it and we're under it. And we have to do what we have to do to meet the objectives in order to get the money that we need from the state. I mean, if you look at it from that point of view, just from getting money from the state, if the state requires us to do X, Y, and Z, we ought to be about the business of doing X, Y, and Z so they can make it happen. Because in the end, it's about receiving $10 million or $20 million or $30 million or not receiving it. And I don't think we're big and bad enough and affluent enough at this point where we can sit back and say, well, I'm not going to do this. I think also the mayor has a responsibility of dealing with legislators and giving them all of the information when he meets with them and talks with them. I can tell you this as a legislator. I would be very reluctant to sign on to any deal that I didn't know the details about. And I'm not just going to take the mayor's word that this is best for the city. If it's best for the city, the mayor ought to be able to prove and show that his proposal is best for the city. And then the council needs to act appropriately and quickly to do what is necessary so that we don't lose out anymore.
Now, from your mouth to God's ears, Fred Durall Jr., my guest, he's a current state representative, recently reelected, by the way. He has made an announcement that he's going to run for the mayor of the city of Detroit. That the journey begins 2 days ago. So we applaud his efforts. I have to ask this question. We played some audio earlier today where, once again, in order to, quote-unquote, balance the budget, The unions of the city of Detroit are going to be asked to make more concessions. As you know, Fred, there are union members right now that are making so little money they qualify, and some of them are actually getting food stamp assistance. Can we end this assault on union labor in the city, please?
Not only in the city of Detroit, which I'm certainly in favor of ending the assault on them, and as mayor, I will do whatever I possibly can to appreciate the fact that we've got great workers in the city of Detroit who have sacrificed, who have been asked and have given concessions over an extended period of time. And to go back and ask them to continue doing that and give up everything that they've ever worked for, I think is stupid, first of all. And secondly, I think that it is counterproductive in the sense that these are people that work and live in the city of Detroit. If we disarm them economically, how is the city going to prosper? These people will be spending money in the city, turning that dollar around inside the city of Detroit. If you strip that away from them, how can the city have a base or even existing? So I'm certainly in favor of working with the labor unions. I understand there's a certain amount of tension between the mayor's office and those contracts that have to go. But I think my approach would be different, and that is open the books. Hell, if you don't have any money, you don't have any money. Let them see it. What's there to hide?
I keep on thinking about, I had your friend Ed McNeil on this show, and he, and as you know, AFSCME went to the mayor, I'm pretty sure you know this, went to the mayor with a program that where they could have literally saved the city of Detroit $182 million in one calendar year. They wouldn't look at the proposal, Fred.
Yeah, I know it. And that, I think, is totally irresponsible. When I'm mayor of the city of Detroit, I'm going to tell you, anybody from the citizen, John Q. Citizen, can come to me, and if he's got a proposal and it makes some sense for bringing money to the city in terms of revenues or saving money in terms of being efficient and cost-saving, I'm going to take a look at it.
Oh, I think it's time for real people with real solutions to solve real problems. Fred Derhold, I had your friend Tom Stallworth on this show the other day. He couldn't have been more effusive in his praise for you, believes that you are the answer. He's not alone. There are a lot of people saying very good things, Fred, about you. I just want you to know as well that you're welcome on this program anytime. As your campaign begins to gear up, as you need some airtime, do not be afraid to reach out to us so that we can get your message to the people that need it most. Again, we have a very substantial listenership in the city of Detroit. We care deeply about what happens there. And Fred, as you know, as Detroit goes, so does Michigan. I want to wish you the best of luck and thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I will certainly take you up on your offer. As you know, I don't have millions of dollars, and I don't proclaim to try to be able to get millions of dollars. But if there are some donors out there that want to write a check, we'll look forward to that as well. But, Tony, thank you so much. As this thing progresses and we go and the situation in Detroit goes, I'll certainly keep in touch with you.
Thank you, Fred. Appreciate that so much. State Representative Fred Derhold, Jr. and candidate for the mayor of the city of Detroit. A quick break here. We'll come back right after this.
This is John Feigl from the Sugar Law Center for Economic and Social Justice in Detroit, Michigan, wishing everybody out there listening, Tony and all the folks at the station, a warm and happy holiday.
On 1310. WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work.
Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, I'm Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
And it just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power, big money. Tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1%er sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited in no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. I want to thank State Representative Fred Durhall Jr. Is he the right guy? I don't know. Is he the wrong guy? I don't know. I know he's a real man. I know he has demonstrated real leadership. I know that he has a resume that any politician would die for. He has been in the trenches. He's done the dirty work. He's done the scrub work. And he's been the leader. He's done all of that. He understands the legislative process. He understands the community in which he lives in. He does live in Detroit. He has a profound record. He was reelected 3 times to the state house. I could go on. This is a man that understands education. He understands business, and he understands the legislative process. He understands that you don't run a city like a business, which is what Dave Bing and Rick Snyder try to do. He understands compromise. He understands listening skills are as important as speaking skills, maybe more important. We need to support candidates like Fred Durhall Jr. Why do we need to do that? Because it's oftentimes the quote-unquote underdog that has the best chance at solving the problems that plague us. I was an underdog candidate. One of the greatest frustrations is being taken seriously because you lack the ability or have the contacts to raise money. Unfortunately, in politics, that's what it's about for those on the outside. The pundits, the prognosticators, always look at your filing. How much money do they have? Well, that'll tell you how likely they are to win. Unfortunately, there seems to be some truth to that. And I don't know why that is. So think long and hard about what needs to happen moving forward in the city. For those of you that live in the city of Detroit and, you know, you think that Fred Durhall Jr. is certainly a legitimate option, I don't disagree with that. Again, he has the pedigree and the resume to do this. He doesn't have Mike Duggan's pockets. He won't be able to tap into the corporate folks the way Mike Duggan will. I, though, you know, and if you think that we're done with people throwing their hat in the ring, don't be surprised if there aren't upwards of 6 candidates or more for the mayorship of the city of Detroit, with or without Dave Bing getting into this thing. And Dave Bing is under no obligation to announce in any time, although he'll have to do it, you know, sometime in the next couple of months, whether he plans to run for re-election. If he doesn't run for re-election, that 6 may become 10. And that would be a very interesting primary. It also makes it harder for top-tier candidates when there are that many candidates. you would ask yourself the question, well, why? Why wouldn't it make it easier? No, because it dilutes the donor base. It truly does. Especially if you're a serious candidate. You know, there are a lot of really fine leaders in the city of Detroit that if they decide to run, any one of them could be a formidable foe to any other one of them. But I'm going to caution the voters of the city of Detroit, not that they don't already know this, and I'm not lecturing you. I just want to caution you that it should no longer be about flash. It should no longer be about what they've done in their business life. Look at what they've done politically. Fred's a great example of that. Look at their record. You don't want a novice. As far as I'm concerned, Mike Duggan is he's a political novice. Now, he's not a novice to politics. But truly, I mean, he knows lots of politicians, and he knows the way how politics work. But I don't believe that Detroit needs another businessman running the city. That's what Dave Bing purportedly was. By the way, Dave Bing was not a successful businessman. His company, Bing Steel, went bankrupt. They had to close it. Now, the excuse that's given is, well, that's because the auto industry tanked. That's true, but it goes back to a vision thing. Anybody that's ever been in business, I've succeeded and I've failed in business. I'll criticize myself as much as I would anybody else that's failed in business. Sometimes these things are out of your control. Sometimes they're not. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, give us a call, 888-552-3595. I want to thank Fred Durall Jr. again for his great interview with us this morning. And we, of course, wish him the best. There are lots and lots of activism opportunities coming your way as a result right now of the right-to-work battle, right-to-work-for-less battle. Many of them begin today, and I'm going to suggest that it's going to be a little difficult for most of you to drop what you're doing today and run up to the state capitol. But over the course of the next couple hours, we're certainly going to let you know how you can get involved, when you can get involved, where you can get involved, why you need to get involved. And this isn't going to simply just be a matter of bodies, which is important. We do need to show up. We do need to show our strength. We need to do all that. But this is not a battle, and this is not a war that will be fought in a day. Now, keep in mind that the legislative session, to my understanding, goes this and next week, and then they check out until the first of the year. The challenge with that, listen to me loud and clear, because they're going to want to pass some of this stuff, obviously, before the end of the year, because some of these people are leaving. So whatever they don't get finished in this legislative session doesn't get done until a new legislature is sworn in. And they don't want that to happen. And since they, and I mean Republicans, just read that, Republicans, since they control the agenda, frankly, that's what's going to happen. So you need to show up. You need, when you're told today what you need to do, or tomorrow, or the next day, and you can do it, you need to do it. If it's as simple as picking up a phone, pick up a phone. Writing a letter, write a letter. Sending an email, send an email. I mean, I don't know how clear or much clearer I can make that. Seems like it's day four this week, and I've been lecturing about the same thing, almost as if I knew that this thing was going to actually come down this way. You think? Yeah, I did know that it was going to all come down this way. That's why I've been doing this all week. I'm hoping that some of you are taking me seriously. I know some of you are taking me seriously. Some of you I get concerned about. Our first word today, remember, was confidence. For those of you that aren't with us in the first hour, we open every show, brief dialogue, and then we do something called first word. Our first word today was confidence. So let me make this clear, bottom line, because this is pretty fundamental, elementary stuff. If you don't have the stones to step up and help, then step back and don't help. Don't get in the way. Right now, I'm interested in building an army of people that want to fight a war. Want to fight a battle, not want to talk about it. Anybody can talk about this stuff. All right, let's take a quick break for the top of the hour. David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, is our guest in the next hour, and we'll get to all of that and so much more as we continue with this Thursday morning program. Thanks for punching in this morning. Let's take a quick break. First Shift continues right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, we still got a busy commute for you. We got that closure due to ice buildup on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard between University Drive and Perry Street. 94 westbound at 12 Mile. Accident has your right lane blocked. Stop and go traffic from Shook Road. Another accident on 94 eastbound after Livernois. Accident has your left two lanes blocked. Traffic getting by in the right lane only. Stop and go traffic from Michigan Avenue. And all lanes blocked due to that vehicle fire on 94 westbound between 96 and Livernois. And it's also causing that problem on 96 eastbound where the ramp to 94 westbound is closed due to that fire. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jimmy Kleshevsky. That record $580 million Powerball jackpot will be split. NBC's Stephanie Goss says the two winning tickets were sold in Arizona and Missouri.
The cash one-time payment is $384.7 million. It's a lot of money. It's going to be split at least two ways.
And that's not all. There were two $2 million winners, $58 million winners, and a whole lot of also-rans. Mitt Romney going to the White House after all, but as President Obama's lunch guest, NBC's Chuck Todd.
There's no set agenda between the two men, President Obama and Mitt Romney. No aides will be present. It may end up being simply two guys breaking bread and sharing war stories.
Wall Street looking up. Futures point to a higher open. And when it comes to holiday tipping, house cleaners are cleaning up. Consumer Reports says cleaners are tops in tips, averaging $50, followed by teachers and hairdressers. On the other hand, garbage collectors get the fewest tips. This is NBC News Radio. President Obama is sending Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner to Capitol Hill today to push for progress in fiscal cliff negotiations amid signs that tax and spend talks could go down to the wire December 31st. A fast-moving storm has pushed through the Pacific Northwest, but NBC's Al Roker says there's more where that came from with wet weather through the weekend.
As much as 15 inches of rain in central and northern California, plus there's mountain snow to talk about, anywhere from 1 to 1.5 feet of snow.
The East Coast feeling the pinch of rising sea levels, according to climate scientists, who say Superstorm Sandy drove home the fact that sea level rising is accelerating the waterfront from Maine to Virginia at higher risk. And news about high fructose corn syrup, not so sweet. A study in the journal Global Health says countries that mix the sweetener into processed foods and soft drinks have a higher rate of diabetes. I'm Jim Kleshevsky, NBC News Radio.
Marcel Tolkowski invented the ideal cut diamond in 1919. Find yours today at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
The ideal cut unlocks the true beauty of the diamond. Invented by Tolkowski, perfected by Tolkowski. And our expert staff can help you create the perfect ring by guiding you through our incredible selection of diamonds at Jared today.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Ladies, how many pounds have you gained since you turned 40? If you're like most women, probably 10 or more. But hundreds of thousands of women have discovered the secret to losing weight after 40. It's called Amberin, and it's an advanced natural product clinically shown to cause sustained weight loss for women over 40. Amberin balances hormones naturally, so the extra weight can fall right off. You can try Amberin absolutely risk-free and get a one-month supply free by calling 1-800-922-2890. That's 1-800-922-2890.
A group calling itself Fast Food Forward, made up of community and civil rights groups, labor, and clergy, is kicking off the largest effort in U.S. history to unionize fast food workers. The New York Times says the average worker's salary at McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Taco Bell, et al. In New York City is not quite $9 an hour. This effort launching today will try to bring the salary to $15 an hour. The report says this move has far-reaching implications for the rest of the nation. We get fresh insight into unemployment this morning when the Labor Department gives us the latest look at new jobless claim filings. That's coming in the next half hour. Also this morning, an update on third quarter GDP, expected to be much higher, 2.8%, than the first estimate of the quarter at 2% flat. Fiscal cliff deal hopes are pushing global stocks up, and U.S. stock futures are higher as well. S&P futures now gaining 9 points, NASDAQ futures up 19. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code backup and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer code backup.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as one day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8, and I am Tony Trupiano on this Thursday, the 29th day of November 2012. Well, as we have been talking all morning, and certainly we'll continue it into this and the next hour, right to work certainly will be a topic. But as we spoke last week, earlier this week, again, we had John Austin on from the Michigan State Board of Education about the Educational Achievement Authority. More than a handful of you sent me emails yesterday, most of that in response to knowing David Hecker would be on this morning. Many school districts are now getting into the discussion, if you will, about the EAA, and we'll talk about what that means and many other issues. So, without further ado, give me an intro, gentlemen, and let's get this hour going.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
What these private for-profits do, they push and push and push students to take out these loans to get the education, and they're pushing people and pushing people, just take out the loan, you'll get this education. And sometimes the education doesn't provide what the student needs, and the student walks out with a major debt, and the college is happy because the college made a profit.
In with Tony is President
David Hecker.
And joining me now is President of the AFT, David Hecker. And David, thank you so much for being with us. Trust you had a nice holiday just 1 week ago.
We did. Hope you and listeners did as well.
Absolutely. We've got a lot to get to today. I'm going to put off Right to Work for just a little bit because I've sent you a couple letters. I got 11 emails yesterday, and I think part of this, again, is people anticipating you're going to be on, and they want to talk about education issues, which, of course, is the whole point of doing this. The Educational Achievement Authority. You just heard me say we had John Austin on the show last week. We talked about the series of bills that the quote-unquote education reform that don't reform anything but to give money to private corporations. And interestingly, David, and let me start with this. We'll get to those letters in just a moment. Now, what people are very concerned about is Michigan tax dollars actually going to corporations outside the state. And that one makes a lot of sense for a lot of people.
Makes a lot of sense that they...
They don't want that to happen.
Right, right. Well, the in one of these bills, HB 5923... It's the sort of, you know, the marketing tagline is education any place, anyhow, anywhere.
Any pace.
Any
yes.
pace, right. The and money could go to a private entity under this bill to provide part of a child's education. Now, that's vouchers. Vouchers are not permitted in Michigan. The Michigan voters voted it down overwhelmingly 2-1 about 12 years ago. The second time they voted vouchers down. But it is yet two things. Another attempt to privatize public education, one, and two, a education quote-unquote reform that has absolutely nothing to do with enhancing the education of our children, not based in research, and not proven to help a child's education.
Well, and that brings me to the letters that are sitting in front of you. The other issue that really resonated with this audience, we talked about this the last time you were here, which was 2 weeks ago, was this idea that we have no way to measure the success of a program because it hasn't been around long enough, number one. But what really resonates with people is that there are no guarantees that under the Educational Achievement Authority they will be held to the same standards that public education. There, and none at all. There's no correlation that what public education has to uphold, the EAA has to uphold. That resonated with people as well. In front of you are two letters that were sent to me by listeners from superintendents of school districts that are very concerned about these bills. Can you address those in a broader sense?
Sure, and if listeners know, these letters are from Bloomfield Hills Superintendent and the Warren Consolidated Schools Superintendent. I've also seen a letter from the Lamphere Schools Superintendent. So these are, you know, these are not the same kind of communities as far as economic standing, et cetera, et cetera. And so I just mentioned that to say that the strong concern about these bills is widespread. It isn't just a pocket. It's widespread. These are really excellent, excellent letters. The superintendents standing up for the children in their school district who they educate and for public education. They each reference four bills, really three, because one of them is a House bill and a Senate bill that's really the same. And that's EAA. So what House Bill 6004 and Senate Bill 1358 provides is the massive expansion of the Education Achievement Authority. And as you mentioned, we talked about 2 weeks ago, Tony, EAA has been in existence for 3 months now with 15 schools it took from Detroit Public Schools. So, you know, yeah, I'm open. EAA may turn out to be the greatest thing since sliced bread for educating children. We have no evidence of that whatsoever. It's been there for 3 months. So how you could support legislation that calls for a massive expansion of EAA when there is no evidence whatsoever that it actually does a better job of educating our children. And by this massive expansion, schools that are in the bottom 5% for three consecutive years would automatically go into EAA. So, you know, that school could be improving. Not doing well, But improving automatically goes into EAA. Forget about the fact that you're getting better. The, you know, this would decimate community school districts. By we're going to yank out your middle school. We're going to yank out 2-year elementaries. We're going to yank out your high school. Our community-based schools are really, really the heart of so many of our communities. Another provision in this would actually require a school district that has an empty building to list the empty building and require them to sell it at market price if a charter school or a private school wanted to buy it. So, you know, with all the cries when we talk about let's provide everyone with health care, about socialism, could you imagine if General Motors had 2 plants next to each other and one of them was empty and they were required to sell it to Ford or Chrysler, what the cries would be. There is yet another provision which would allow EAA to charter schools anytime, any place they want. Not just EAA schools. Let's start a school in Traverse City. Let's start a school in Bloomfield. Let's start a school in Alpena. Let's start a school in Inkster. Not an EAA school. We just will have the authority to charter. Again, 3 months, no evidence. You know, when I was talking to someone, I said, here, I'll make you a deal. First, let's try all those things we know that research shows us works to improve public education. Then after we try those, if they don't work, then come talk to me. Okay? So that's one bill. Another bill, House Bill 5923, we talked about. That's the anytime, any place, any pace where a child could be in Berkeley School District, but take a math class in Roseville, and then the money for that math class would follow the child to Roseville. Some company could start up a school, and they could take an English class there. How that would work, for one, who knows? How you would actually, with all this measuring of how well a school is doing, how would you do that if someone's taking, you know, 4 classes in different places? It's a form of vouchers, and it totally undercuts the ability of a local community school district to be able to provide a comprehensive education for children when money starts leaving and going here, going there, going the other place. The other bill, Senate Bill 620, is called the Parent Trigger Bill. There have been examples of this in states around the country, where if you're a low-performing school, parents can petition. And I think it's if 60% of parents say, let's turn it into a charter, it becomes a charter. So I think all almost people need to know about that bill is that the Michigan PTA has said that bill doesn't work.
Yes, we had them on about that.
That's right.
That as
so
well,
so. The parent organization says no. Parent involvement in their child's education is absolutely essential. It makes all the difference in the world. I know how active you've been in your children's education when they were growing up. It's absolutely essential. That is far, far different than telling parents, if 60% of you, I don't even know what the denominator would be in that, but if 60% of you decide to turn this into a charter, again, no proven record that would make a difference anyway, that you make education policy and you determine how the school district is absolutely going to run.
All right, let's pick it up from there after the break. The question I want to pose to you, David, and we'll get to the answer after the break, is what happens to these EAA schools once they start performing better? If they're no longer considered in the bottom 5%, are they returned to the school district or do they become protected under the EAA? But we'll get to that on the other side. David Hecker, my guest. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Lots to get to as we work our way through this Thursday morning show. Stay with us.
is Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, Rainbow Push Detroit, President and State Coordinator. I'd like to wish the First Shift audience a happy holidays.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's check your rush hour commute and head over to 96 eastbound just before Newburgh Road. Accident has both shoulders blocked, causing slow traffic from 275. Another accident is reported on 75 southbound at Dixie Highway. And we got that big problem. We're still working on it on 94 westbound between 96 and Livernois. All lanes blocked due to that vehicle fire. And has also caused 96 eastbound, the ramp to 94, to be closed due to that fire. And 96 eastbound after Livernois, accident has your left two lanes blocked. Traffic getting by in the right lane only. Stop and go traffic from Rotunda Drive. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 47 with early morning clouds and then sunny skies in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, 44 with light showers, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. David Hecker, my guest, at 22 minutes after 8 o'clock here on First Shift. David, before the break, I'd ask the question, and I just don't know the answer to it, so I thought I'd ask, what happens to these schools? Let's say I'm in my school, in my district, in my community, is in the bottom 5%. It gets moved into the EAA. A couple years into this, all of a sudden, it's in the top third. I'll be generous and say the top third, not the top 5%, but the top third. What happens to that school? Do they stay under the auspices of the EAA?
In reading the bill, it appears It is not really clear, but it appears that may be in the purview of the chancellor of VAA to decide that you, Truppiano High School, has made sufficient progress, and you should go back to the Roseville School District.
Okay, so I may or may not.
That's right. You may or may not. This bill puts an enormous, enormous amount of power in determining education policy and how it's implemented in this state in the hands of one person.
I want to go back to something I said a little earlier. I just want a little bit more discussion about measuring success, achievement. Since they are, and again, I've read the bills. They don't ask anything of the school. Of the authority with regard to just improving performance. They don't say how you have to do it. They don't say how that's going to be measured. They don't have, it seemingly, and again, maybe I just didn't find it, but they seemingly aren't held to the same standards that public education is held to. And which is and part of those two letters, I guess, underscores that. So my concern, obviously, as a parent, as somebody that cares about education, as somebody that cares about our next, 100 generations, how does this solve any problem? I don't see how it's solving problems. That's the bottom line, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, it doesn't. There are problems. We've said that many times. There are issues and problems to be addressed in public education. Again, there's no evidence whatsoever that this will do it in any way whatsoever. And it's standard practice for this legislature. I mean, when they passed the bill to take off the cap on the number of university charter schools that are allowed, we didn't want the cap lifted, but in the very least, we wanted language in there that spoke to quality schools. They wouldn't put any language in there that required charters to be quality, or if you bring in an education management organization, a private company, that it has to meet certain criteria. That's not really much of the concern.
I think this kind of goes to the tenure issue. Let's say an educator in a building has a solution to a problem within the building, and they go to the building administrator, the principal. They go to the school board or they go to the board office and they sit down with the curriculum person. They say, listen, I think I've got a solution to this problem, but it's going to require X, Y, and Z. Because of the way tenure has changed, let's say it's a brilliant idea, but somebody doesn't want that person to publicly state it. Maybe they want to own it as their issue. Maybe they're afraid that it will be so popular that what they fought for all of a sudden. Are we inhibiting teachers from solving problems in public schools by changing tenure laws?
No, there's no question about it. From we're inhibiting teachers from standing up and fighting for their students when they think they're not being treated correctly by the school district. It is when they change the tenure law, they change the standard that management needs to meet to take away someone's tenure, and they made it considerably lower. It has been just cause for years and years and years. That's sort of a standard that an employer needs to meet, and they lowered it to say the employer cannot be arbitrary and capricious, and that is a very, very low standard to meet. There's another part of the EAA law. It's a very complicated law. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I've had two staff people sit down with me and walk through this.
I've had a very difficult time.
I had a firm understanding. Yeah. But there's another. Schools in the bottom 5% for 3 years automatically go into EAA. But if you're in the bottom 5% for 1 year, you would still be. I'm just using Roseville, any school district. You would still be in the Roseville school district, but you could be forced by the state redesign officer to take a new model of doing education, which could be to close the school, not really a model, to turn it into a charter, to do a turnaround model, which would greatly, greatly inhibit collective bargaining, limit what you could bargain to wages and benefits, do a transformation model, which is not at all defined in the law, or do an alternative model. And an alternative model is defined as anything their state redesign officer thinks will work. And if you're in the alternative model, you have collective bargaining agreement doesn't cover you, and you do not accrue time in the state pension plan. So, and you do not accrue seniority years in your school district.
And that reforms education how?
So let me ask you, what teacher is going to want to go into a school in the alternative model or the other models? You know, the idea is to get the best and the brightest in these schools, and you're not going to get the best and the brightest in these schools.
You actually are going to chase them away.
Right.
We've got a caller. 888-552-3595 if you want to join us. Let's welcome Barbara and Wayne to First Shift. Barbara, thanks so much for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air with David Hecker.
Good morning, David and Tom.
Good morning.
Tony, you know, I appreciate so much when you come on every week and share this valuable information. The Republicans have been working for years to screw it up, and they finally got us there. But the bill numbers, could you give those out again?
Sure. There are, for the Education Achievement Authority bill, which is the expansion of EAA, that's House Bill 6004 and Senate Bill 1358. There's a bill in the House and the same or very, very similar bill in the Senate. The bill that is education anytime, any place, any pace is House Bill 5923. So that's the bill that a child could take a class here, a class there, a class here. Anybody could start up a school and get some money. The parent trigger bill, which the PTA opposes, is Senate Bill 620.
Okay.
All right, Barbara?
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you for listening.
Great. Thank you for your call. Mark, I'm going to ask you to stay on hold because we're going to take the break here in a minute. I don't want to shortchange you on your call, so stay right where you're at. I'm glad Barbara called and asked. You know, this is one of those issues, David, that I found that now we've been at a couple weeks. The more we talk about it, the more people really dislike it. And by virtue of the fact I got 11 emails. And this, by the way, this happened after 5 o'clock last night. So the kids must have come home with a note yesterday is what I'm thinking. So I just find it fascinating that all of a sudden people are waking up to this issue. Let's take a quick break. We'll take the next caller, and then we'll get to Right to Work. David Hecker, again, my guest. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org is the email address. Stay right where you're at. Mark and Warren promise you're up right after this break. Stay with us, folks. We'll continue with First Shift once we do this.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your rush hour traffic, let's head back over to 94 westbound between 96 and Livernois, where that vehicle fire has been causing problems all morning long. Now that area is closed, and traffic is still stopped from the Lodge Freeway. 96 eastbound, the ramp to 94 westbound is closed due to that fire on 94. 75 northbound between Springwells and the Lodge, stop and go traffic there. 94 eastbound, just after Livernois, accident has your left 2 lanes blocked. Stop and go traffic from Rotunda, and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. And we have that closure due to ice buildup. That's on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard between University Drive and Perry Street, and that was caused by a flooding issue in that area. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 47 with early morning clouds and then sunny skies in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, 44 with light showers, and it's currently 34 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
At last, our embarrassment is over. We Texans have long endured the shame of having our goober of a governor, Rick Perry, declaimed as the goofiest public official in the land. But now, we can point to another state's embarrassment, for a newly elected senator has ascended atop America's pedestal of political goofiness. But, oh my gosh, it's us again! The goof displacing Perry is Ted Cruz, a darling of Tea Party Republicans who was just elected senator from Texas. In addition to embracing the full array of Michelle Bachmann-style right-wing wackiness, Cruz also soars into the oxygen-deprived cosmic zone of John Birch Society conspiracy theories. Central to his campaign was this earnest pledge. In the U.S. Senate, I intend to continue leading the fight to stop Agenda 21. In this world of woes, you might have missed the dire danger that Agenda 21 poses to our republic. It's a 20-year-old, non-binding United Nations resolution promoting sustainable development and smart growth plans around the world. No less of a communist agent than George Bush I signed on to it for our nation, and no visible harm has resulted. But Birchers, now joined by Koch Brothers Front Group and Senator Cruz, see things that us normal people do not. Agenda 21, writes Ted on his website, attempts to abolish unsustainable environments, including golf courses, grazing pastures, and paved roads. Don't you see, people? The godless blue beret-wearing troops of the UN are going to grab our golf clubs, cows, and gas-powered cars in the unholy name of sustainability. And who's behind this grand scheme to usurp America's sovereignty and your property? George Soros, Cruz declares. This is Jim Hightower saying, sorry, but this goober is now a U.S. senator.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Once again, David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan, my guest. We're going to go right to the phones. Feel free to join us, by the way. 888-552-3595. Mark in Warren joins us now. And Mark, happy holidays to you. You're on the air with President David Hecker.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, President Hecker. Happy holidays to both of you as well.
Same to you, Mark.
I wanted to just make a comment about the EAA. Received a student yesterday, as you both know, I'm a special education teacher in the city of Detroit. And one of the things that the EAA is not doing is servicing the special ed population the way we are. The parent that came in was very happy with my introduction to what we would be doing with the child. And one of the other things that the parent noted was that in discussing her child with the quote-unquote professionals over at the EAA, she wasn't treated the way she would like to be treated. She was kind of belittled to a great degree. And I'm not going to get into all the details, obviously, because there's anonymity issues there. But anyways, the point I'd like to make is it's very similar to the charter schools, where they really don't want the special ed population because they're expensive. Yet they want to siphon off the money and, you know, pad their pockets. So I was wondering, President Hecker, if perhaps you could expand a bit on that and let the audience know some of those talking points as well.
Oh, Mark, sure. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, and thanks for doing what you do. As Mark said, if you take a look at the statistics for charter schools, the percent of their students who are special education is significantly lower than the percent in traditional school districts. And Mark said the reason why, that special education children, especially those with disabilities, are more severe. It takes more money to educate them. And that's life. And so we provide the money to educate them. Every child deserves a great education. But if you're a charter school and like 85% run by private for-profit companies, you know, you don't really want the child that is going to cost a lot more money to educate. And There are some charters that serve the same percentage, but the overwhelming, you know, if you take the average number, it is significantly lower than traditional school districts, because traditional school districts have to and want to take every child that comes through the door. And while technically that's what a charter school is supposed to do, first of all, a charter school could limit the number of seats they have. And, you know, there are other ways of getting the word out.
I want to talk for a moment about parapros. The people aren't aware of what's happened, especially in special education, with paraprofessionals in the special education classroom. I happen to know a handful of special education teachers. One, at one point, 5 years ago, had three parapros that served her classroom. She now has one part-time parapro. This has become a serious problem. You just said something that's critical. We want to give every child the best education. We're not doing that.
And the, you know, there, when we want to mainstream special education children who we feel can function in a traditional classroom with their friends and all that, which is a great plus to doing that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's called inclusion. It's, you know, it's a great thing to do, to bring all the children together. But in many, many instances, the child with special needs in that classroom needs a para to be with him or her to help them along so they can be included in that classroom. And, you know, as you said, those positions are cut. So when you cut those positions, a lot of times that means you cannot include the special education child, the special needs child, in the traditional classroom with the rest of the kids.
Well, it's really disgusting is the word that comes to mind. I think in special education teachers, and Mark, I'm not saying this because I know you're listening, special education teachers are a very special breed of educators.
Absolutely.
They show an uncommon commitment. Ask, and you know this, you ask a special education teacher about any one of the kids in their classroom or any kid they've ever taught, they follow them years after they're out of their care. Years after, they become a part of their family. They become a part of the dialogue. In fact, many times they have a better communication with the child than the parent does. And how do we reward that? We reward that by cutting their pay and getting ready to help in the classroom. That makes so much sense, David. All right, we'll move on. I'm not going to get angry. I don't want to get angry.
Just before we move on, you know, on these bills that we mentioned a few times, we just ask people to call their state rep, to call their state senator, and for reasons we discussed on this show, ask them to oppose that legislation.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that I get and I'll do this right after the show. I'll get those bills put up on the Facebook page. I don't believe this stuff's going to move in lame duck. I don't believe that. Correct? You don't see this moving in lame duck?
EAA is being seriously discussed. The 5923, anytime, any place, any pace, I think is on a slower pace, no pun intended, but EAA is absolutely being discussed now.
All right, well, then pick up the phone. You need to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Make a list of the bill numbers and just start reciting them. Folks, don't be afraid to call more than once. That's fine, too. All right, let's go to Right to Work. As in the second hour of the show, Susan Demas, who, as you know, is a journalist with the Mayor's News Service, was on the program.
Right.
And she said there was a meeting yesterday at the AFL offices between the speaker, Jace Bulger, and union leadership, which included you. She didn't mention you by name, but she mentioned the AFT by name. You did confirm to me before the show that there was a meeting. You also told me that that was a confidential discussion, so I'll respect that. Just your impressions of what happened yesterday, and I'll move on. I've got lots to talk to you about.
Okay. Well, first, just factual. The meeting was in the speaker's office.
It wasn't the speaker's office. Okay.
And we had a good, frank discussion with Speaker Bulger. We appreciate that he took, 30, 40 minutes that we spent with him.
Okay. Well, and we all also know that there's serious discussion, so let's take the conversation here. As Gongwer and Mears both, late or early in the afternoon, it might have been late morning, but they both reported that right-to-work legislation is on a fast track and that it may drop actually today. Is it your belief that it will drop today?
It's my belief it'll drop today.
In the House is my understanding.
Unless, you know, something happened in the last couple of hours to change that I'm not aware of. But what we hear is it will drop today. So they get it going. There's a 5-day rule. When you introduce a bill in one House, first of all, you have to, my understanding, and I'm no expert on this, why, you know, we, many people in labor, our legislative staff, know this backwards and forwards. But my understanding is you can't introduce a new bill Tuesday and then pass it Tuesday.
Right.
And you can't, once you pass it, you just can't send a new bill over to the other chamber and they automatically pass it. There has to be a 5-day layover. So the legislature is keen on wrapping up by, I think it's the 13th of December. And so because of these layover rules, which are good rules, they're undoubtedly going to drop a bill today.
Okay. Obviously, we'll put that also on the list of things to talk to your state rep senator about.
Absolutely.
I know I've mentioned this before, but it certainly merits mentioning again. You can, there's a speaker. It doesn't matter who represents you. You should call the speaker's office because they represent the entire body.
Call the speaker's office, call the Senate Majority office, Randy Richardville, and then your own state senator and your own state rep.
And
let me add the governor.
And the governor. And in fact, I received, I believe it was from the AFT yesterday, an email that asked us to handwrite a letter to the governor. And tell me why a handwritten letter you believe, David, or maybe it's not your belief, but why you believe that is a little more effective than an email.
Well, I'll tell you a story from a long time ago at this point, probably 15 years ago. AFT, we had a program, northern part of the state for our locals up there, and a former state rep, fantastic individual, Lynn John Dahl, was helping us with the program. He was no longer a state rep even then, but was helping us with the program. And I asked Lynn, I said, Lynn, when you were a state rep, how many personal, you know, not the click and send email, which has an important role, but how many personal letters on one issue would you need to get from people, from your constituents, for you to sit up and say, my God, the people back home really care about this? And his answer was 10.
Wow.
So a senator, you know, may need 20. Very, very few people do this. And when you write a personal letter, that really shows, more than clicking and sending an email, that really shows how concerned you are about this. And when you write a letter like that, it's a pretty good guess you're not just writing the letter and that's it. It's a pretty good guess that you're an activist in the community, that you're talking to your family and friends about the issue, so it has a ripple effect. And as much as that letter could talk about you and why, for you and your family and your community, this piece of legislation isn't good or is good, depending on what the piece of legislation is.
I'll make a point. We come back. There's another little very effective tool that people use that I'll share it with the audience. But we have to get to the break. If you need to join us one more time, 888-552-3595. David Hecker, once again, the president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, is my guest. Let's take the break. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Harvey Santana, state representative. I want to wish you and your families a happy holiday season. I want to let you know how much I love you, care for you, and how hard we're working for you in Lansing to get our government back to work.
On 1310 WDTW. Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let's quickly go to the phone and welcome Stephen Monroe to First Shift.
I think you can look at the bigger picture, and the unions basically brought the textile industry to its knees.
Let me say this about the textile industry. It was largely non-union, so that's one of the... I have to say that's kind of a dumb argument.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Tony Trupiano. David Hecker, my guest. David, one of the things that I have found effective when I do a handwritten letter, and I often do that, I always put at the bottom of the letter that I copied the Dearborn Heights Press and Guide. If I'm sending it to the governor or somebody else, just so they know that somebody besides their eyes, and it actually is quite effective.
That's a great idea.
Even if it's a handwritten letter, I'll put, I'll put a little paragraph. I've copied, or I'm sending a copy of this to my local newspaper. Mm-hmm. I would hope that you take this as seriously as I know they will. The those letters to the editor matter a whole lot, too, because people, especially, no disrespect to the news. Actually, there is a little disrespect to the news and free press. But for all intents and purposes, that local paper is better read than the news and the free press. People love their local paper.
Right. Right. The first thing I do when I look at a paper is look at the letters to the editor to see what the trend is.
As do I. It's critical. It's critical that people become active. It's interesting because this is a fight. Fran Brennan from Working America. Right. She was on with us yesterday. And, of course, they only work with non-union households. Right. And, of course, what they do is educational. It's nonpartisan. They do a wonderful job. They really do. I have a lot of respect for them. And, we talked yesterday about how important this issue is. A lot of their members work at Save on Drugs, which are not union stores, or Walmart, which we know are not union stores. And 70% of their membership is considered conservative or moderate Republican. They've got over 100,000 members here in the state of Michigan. We should probably, and not that we didn't yesterday and the day before, but we should probably mention that poll that was done by Lake Research Partners right after the election that showed that 70% of Michiganders, not of Democrats, not of Republicans, of Michiganders support collective bargaining.
Right.
The proposal to saying no was nothing about a belief in unions or a belief in collective bargaining.
Right.
It was they just didn't feel it should have been a constitutional
right.
amendment. You know, we you know, I guess we haven't talked about this. Well, we did mention it. The political revenge through something that can truly drive down wages, drive down the cost of living, and send jobs out of the state. And yet the Republicans are standing waving their flag as if it's some kind of badge of courage. This is insane, Dave.
Well, what we face all the time when we talk to Republicans is that we started the fight with Prop 2. And we say, now you have to look at all the legislation you passed and the governor signed, almost culminating in the 1 week when the governor signed two pieces of legislation, one usurping the power of the Michigan Employment Relations Commission and saying a certain group of employees who were about to, 2,200 at the University of Michigan who were about to vote in a union are not employees, so can't organize. And then the same week signed the law that said, school employees cannot bargain with their management, and management cannot bargain with the school employees to have payroll deduction of dues. In 1 week, both those laws were signed. I mean, we said, you did that. You gave us no choice but to do Prop 2. It's those laws that started this. We didn't want to start a fight. It's those laws that started it. And but what we try to stress is, you passed those laws. We tried Prop 2. We weren't successful. Let's move this state forward. Let's find our common ground. Let's work together on our common ground where we both agree that it's good strategy to do this, this, or this to move this state forward and work together instead of these attacks, which not only do nothing to move the state forward, impede the state from moving forward.
Oh, I'm a little concerned with apathy. I'm always concerned with apathy. One of the things that always concerns me, elections are in November, holidays are on top of us. Our activists get busy. Maybe they're tired. They're burned out. You know, David, it wasn't 48 hours after the election that I was getting calls to donate to this campaign and renew my membership to this thing. And I get that. It gets tiring. It really does. But we have to remember there's a good reason that people need our support. And when this is not the time, and I preach this throughout the entire time I was helping during the campaign, that I tell people the real work begins on November 7th. Well, here it is.
Right.
You know, it's the 29th now, long after the 7th. I wasn't lying. The real work does begin now. We can't relax.
We knew if we made gains in the House, which we did, that lame duck would be difficult because they set the pattern that forced us to do Prop 2, and hopefully they'll realize that all the research tells you that states that are right to work states have lower wages, less people have health care, infant mortality is higher, less money is spent on public education, less money is given to workers who are hurt, more workers are hurt on the job. Every indice you would look at to judge what is society, is it a good society or a bad society, those indices are far, far worse in right-to-work states. And, I don't want to live in a state like that. I don't want my kids to live in a state like that. I want my kids to live in a state that's growing, that's prospering, that treats people right.
Now, there is this simple idea of respect and dignity. We see a severe lack of that. I held out a little hope when the governor was negotiating with state workers through the coalition of unions and gave them a raise and respected the process and treated Miss Cindy Estrada with a great deal of respect. I thought there was a glimmer of hope there. I still believe there's a little glimmer of hope there. I don't believe that our governor is moderate. I think that's a media myth. I do know that Democrats, and that's the problem. The media reports, well, Democrats and independents voted for Governor Sanders. Of course they didn't know who he was. We now know. I mean, we now know, David. We have to be very careful that we stop paying attention to what the mainstream media says about this guy, because it's not hard to label him. He's a conservative right-wing Republican.
Well, the governor has a tremendous opportunity to be a leader. The government has a tremendous opportunity at this time to really bring people together, to not just say, I don't want to see right to work, it's divisive, but to say, if it hits my desk, I'm going to veto right to work. That's a great opportunity for the governor to say, the elections are over, let's bring the state together, let's find common ground, and let's move the state forward. It's a great opportunity for him to do that by publicly saying he would veto right to work if it hit his desk.
Well, he's doing neither one of his constituencies. Well, maybe there are more than two, but he's doing neither constituency any favors right now. He's not doing those that are pro-labor any favors by being silent, and he's not doing those that are pro-right to work for less any favors by being silent. And I don't know what he feels that he's accomplishing. Susan Demas, when I asked her that question this morning, she says, well, I can't speak for the governor, but the longer he waits, the worse this gets for him. And I'd have to agree with that. I mean, he does need to show some leadership. Wow, we're out of time. All right, that's it. David, okay, thank you.
Great. Thanks to be back.
2 weeks.
Thank you.
Let's hope we're having a very different conversation in 2 weeks.
I hope so. Thank you, Tony.
Right.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you. All right, let's take a quick break. Chris Mihalakis, when we continue, let's take that break for the top of the hour. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW after this top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your rush hour traffic, let's head back over to 94 westbound between 96 and Livernois, where that vehicle fire has been causing problems all morning long. Now that area is closed, and traffic is still stopped from the Lodge Freeway. 96 eastbound, the ramp to 94 westbound is closed due to that fire on 94. 75 northbound between Springwells and the Lodge, stop and go traffic there. 94 eastbound, just after Livernois, accident has your left two lanes blocked. Stop and go traffic from Rotunda, and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. And we have that closure due to ice buildup. That's on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard between University Drive and Perry Street, and that was caused by a flooding issue in that area. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.